But it's funny because here you, the listeners, are getting a full palette.
Absolutely.
Yes. All sorts of different artistical statements, yes, which actually I think is a great thing.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin, Mass. FM radio dial 102.9. Here today in the municipal building of our wonderful town of Franklin, in the training room, with town administrator Jamie Helen. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic, Steve.
Excellent.
It's a very hot week, but
Trying to stay cool.
Doing pretty good. Yeah.
Doing pretty good. And school superintendent, Lucas Jaguar, how are you doing this day?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thanks for having us. And as Jamie said, it definitely, the heat is pretty tough right now, but we're doing okay.
This too shall pass.
Right. This too shall pass.
Exactly.
Absolutely. This too shall pass.
So we're gathered because it's the end of the fiscal year as well.
Yeah.
June 30th is coming, and then the new fiscal budget starts. There's a whole lot of stuff going on the school side. There's a whole lot of stuff going on the town side. We just wanted to look back and reflect and then go forward and say, what's next?
Yeah.
But,
you know, I'm not sure. Right now, I think my focus, and probably the superintendent's, is just simply to, you know, I think redistricting is certainly here. We have a list of summer projects mm-hmm. that we're working on the town side. You know, business just moves on for us. It's right. just another day that we get up and we go back to doing the work that we said we were going to do on the Historical Museum Cupola, the Police Station Building Committee. You know, I could go down a whole list of things that, you know, we're working on, but I think a lot of the public's probably aware of a lot of those things. So from a budget perspective, I mean, the voters have spoken a couple years in a row. You know, we made the town council made the cuts they promoted that they said they were gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure like the superintendent, you know, we're still getting a little bit of communication from some of the people that voted against the override, some of the people that voted for the override. You know, and from my perspective, looking forward, you know, we're going to take a bunch of months off here from more of the public-facing piece of it of the last year. From a staff perspective, you know, the school and town finance staff are on year-end wrap-ups, encumbrances, year-end reporting. DESE has a lot of reporting. The elementary school
sure.
state agency has a
right.
lot of reporting.
Yeah.
We have to start our free cash certification process. I mean, there's a lot of work. We try to tell this story many times in public.
Right.
We have told it in our budget narratives. We've done presentations on the reorg of the finance and HR staff. I know that some people may not have seen all that, but all of that work goes on while the rest of the listeners, you know, move on with their lives. And do the stuff that they normally do over the summer. But our staff downstairs, this is one of our busiest times of the year. And then there's an election in November, a local election in November for council, school committee, planning board, et cetera. And so in town clerk and assessors
yeah.
and board of health, you know,
yeah, right.
et cetera. And then so there's an election in November. And so I don't anticipate a tremendous amount of budget activity for the next 6 months. And
mm-hmm.
the reason why I say that is Beacon Hill hasn't finalized their budget yet, but they're also, in their defense, waiting a little bit to see what Congress does.
Sure.
And the House and Senate have passed bills, you probably read about in the news, in DC.
Mm-hmm.
What that final package looks like will have an impact on state budgets, which will have a downriver consequence possibly for us
right.
in the next couple of years. So, you know, I will be putting out a fiscal forecast at some point, probably in the early fall. But I will, also, as I said to you probably every year on this podcast, Steve, fiscal forecasting is great. We've been very dedicated to it here, and it's a great process. But if anyone thinks that forecasting in this decade is worth as much as it was previous to this decade,
mm-hmm.
They're not accurate.
No.
It has been the worst decade to do fiscal forecasting, and it's still, for the rest of this decade, going to be very, very tumultuous with interest rates, the Federal Reserve, DC, what's going on at the state level and all over the place with tariffs and global economics.
The uncertainty is out there.
Gas prices are up 20 cents a gallon. I happened to notice this morning, and we were warned this by the war over in Iran. So there's a lot of factors with forecasting that are not going to make forecasts a very good document to base your decision making off of. It just gives you a little bit of a rounded edges idea of what the future may look like. But
we'll come back to that because I want to talk about the real issue within that is the conversations that should be happening. Clearly, that hasn't always been happening. We know some of it has, but not everything. But Lucas, on your side as well, you had your kind of close out with all the principals last week.
Yes.
You're still in the midst of redistricting and getting everything set up for the major move where everybody other than the high school swaps rooms effectively.
Yes. So, you know, we school ended on June 18th. And as you said, we had a very thoughtful end of year this year, particularly given the circumstances on school closures. Some schools closing forever, in essence. And, you know, with that also comes the opportunity and, you know, the next stage of where we find ourselves in the future. So before I get into that segment on future, I just wanted to just say that the work that the PCCs did with the administration, the faculty, our Sunshine Club committees and whatnot, to just do some really thoughtful end of year closure type activities was really well done, and I thought in good taste, and really went well. The move, as you know, the last 4 days of school was half days. Where it's half days for teachers, where they packed up their things, they are ready to move, and the movers are going to be here on July 7th, and effectively through the summer, moving all of the furniture, equipment, boxes, and whatnot. So those are some of the big, big plans happening. With just dovetailing off of Jamie's comments around budget, you know, we were obviously disappointed around the outcome of the override.
Right.
One thing I will say is, and I said this to the school community at large at one of our meetings was, you know, despite the outcome, you know, I try to look for where can we find some gratitude. And we had a lot of people show up, a lot of people in support, and we have our budget finalized. Good, bad, or indifferent, however you feel about it. We were doing this last year and all the way into August, if you remember, because of all of the different meetings.
The gyrations.
And I feel as though this is the first year I'm feeling like I'm walking into the summer with a clear plan. Jamie's point around
kind
budget.
Kind of a normal plan for the summer.
Well, I think we both, town and school, feel this way. We have to now do the work behind the scenes as a result of having a finalized budget for FY26, where we're still closing out FY25.
Right.
So to those points, I think we're able to move forward with the team that we're fielding based on where we landed with those reductions, but ultimately have a budget to move forward.
Right.
And I think at this point, I'm turning the corner into FY26 with a shared optimism among my team about the redistricting and where we'll find ourselves. So, there's just still a lot of work to be done. Even though school's out for kids, there's a lot of work that we have to do now between now and June 30th to kind of wrap up this year and then obviously transition in the next.
Right. Yeah, there's a boatload of work. Never mind just moving boxes back and forth, but then setting up as the new schools open, you'll have the new community opportunities. And from my point of view as well, I think if anything, from kind of the media perspective, broadly speaking, we're still here to help both of you, help our community better understand what's going on. Because clearly, even though the survey came out, and granted there were some statistical numbers that says it was a great survey, great response, but effectively half the people who registered to vote did not vote at the override, and we had the results, and yes, it was two times in a row, so we'll take that as a data point, but to a certain extent, that silent majority is out there, and they may very well be silent because they're not feeling the pain, they're not seeing the issues, and thereby just keep doing what you're doing, which is both what both of you are effectively are saying. You still have to continue to deliver services going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the 2024 special election had a 48% turnout. This last year, I think, was this a couple weeks ago, was 40%. So that's an 8% roughly, plus or minus, drop of 900 to 1,000 votes fewer this particular year than last year. I think One of the big factors there was in 2024 was a presidential ballot. And so the Secretary of the Commonwealth had a checkbox for all ballots. So correct. I think a lot of other people that had signed up for mail-in ballots the whole year got one in June.
Correct.
And so I think that might be at least partial explanation as to why the voter drop was a little bit more this year. I've had a lot of these philosophical conversations in my career, on the one hand, I agree that it's disappointing to see 60% not feel that this was worth the time. Mm-hmm. But also, 40%, 48% are still extremely large turnout numbers for special elections.
For a local election.
For a local special correct. Election. Yeah. So, unfortunately, there's a lot of people, for whatever reasons, exercise their right to not vote. This happens in, when 20% doesn't come out for a presidential election or whatever, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
It could be circumstances, it could be a variety of mechanisms, but to me, more importantly, is less about the 60% that didn't come or show up to vote. It's the thing that stuck out to me was that the numbers were pretty much the same both years. So right. over the course of 12 months,
very close margin.
The margin was about 1%, mm-hmm. right, on both.
Yep.
And so it shows that the community is extraordinarily divided. I think Councilor Chandler has said it at meetings that 95%, I think he's metaforically saying that, mm-hmm. 95% of the voters have already made up their mind. Well, mm-hmm. that proved to be pretty true.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of swing.
Nope.
Neither the yes nor the no sides, if you will, really made a lot of headway either way.
No.
I think people, I will say in local government, we do have a issue right now, and it came out in the survey, but I think this is a symptom of a changing world.
Agreed.
The communication gap is pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I don't think a lot of people in town, because they're very happy living in Massachusetts or in Franklin, feel like it's worth the time and sacrifice in their lives to go learn about all these things.
Right.
And there's a new communication medium, right? And we did some data sets in the survey with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think local government, including schools and towns, which is a big change for us,
mm-hmm.
have to start possibly transitioning to platforms of communication that we've never utilized in a government atmosphere before. Just platforms like Twitch, mm-hmm. Platforms that are on podcasts, platforms that have video to the podcast. You and I have even sure. talked about this before, yeah. Steve. I think in some ways to engage demographics that are not just younger, but maybe are newer parents, maybe newer to the community, maybe newer to Massachusetts. There's going to have to be a reshuffle here, and I think it's going to have to be quick in local government, where some of these things that we've never dealt with before, like we're not going to get on TikTok, for example, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that day's over because yeah. the numbers just show that people are on podcasts, they're on Facebook, they're on here, and there's danger zones for us in that. But I think the other danger zone is, like, the engagement is another danger zone, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that communication network of how people are engaged, how they participate,
right.
What are the expectations that an average citizen can feel that their input is heard and then viewed in the budget?
Mm-hmm.
These are very, very complicating endeavors. And we have a very low rate of people reading the materials that we provide. We have mm-hmm. a very, very microscopic rate of people engaging with the stuff that we have online. The amount of communications I've had after the override of people asking me, do we do audits? Do we do mm-hmm. financial transparency metrics? Like, kind of like these private sector terms kind of coming in.
Sure.
I'm like, I sit there and befuddled saying, we have a website,
mm-hmm.
like at least intuitively someone could do that, but I think these stories are the ones that, as we move forward to your kind of point question,
right.
I think the superintendent and I here in Franklin, but also more in our field.
Yeah, we're not alone.
No, we are the standard.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody that I'm aware of in local government in Massachusetts that's doing TikTok threads. I will give a plug to the Department of Conservation and Recreation. DCR, the state agency, has one guy that's a digital specialist. Mm-hmm. And if you follow them on Instagram or any other social platform, they're doing 1 minute, 90 second educational vignettes on controlled fires, on wildlife preservation. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, the gentleman that does it, does a really fun job. Mm-hmm. He's quirky. Right. He's kind of a little eccentric. And I think we have to be more of ourselves, mm-hmm. and communicate that authenticity, sure. to the public, yeah. to bring them in. And we can't keep doing everything in the municipal building. Right. Now, the irony is we did a listening tour this year in the Elks. We went to Remington Jefferson. We went every neighborhood in the right. And yep. still people didn't come out,
right.
which is still telling me
yep.
that people want to do all of this work and be engaged at home. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
at night.
On their schedule.
Yeah. And I think that's a challenge that local government officials need to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lucas and I have talked about this, but we've got to figure out a way as we move forward to engage those residents. And I think we also have to have some sort of concept with a lot of the newer residents about, like, what are their expectations of us. Mm-hmm. We can't do everything for everybody.
No.
And especially after these cuts, and I know I can speak for Lucas on this one, mm-hmm. I mean, the next level, okay,
yeah,
is really, like, is seriously putting this community in significant jeopardy moving right. forward. Public safety, schools, quality of life, but really civility and mental health mm-hmm. are really the issues that are going to come out down the line, because people just believe to some degree that we can kind of do everything.
Right.
And we just can't do that anymore. We don't have that bandwidth.
No. No, unfortunately. And I've said in other places as well, there's some number of people don't feel the pain, and change happens either willingly or forcefully. But the force sometimes comes from, now I'm hurting, now I'm feeling something, I need to change. And maybe that will. I don't know. That's certainly not the best way to go, but
I think just building off of this conversation around the sound bites or the bits of information, I'm finding that people don't. It's if we didn't provide a comprehensive document, mm-hmm. I think that would be negligent on our parts.
Absolutely.
So we need to have that, and correct. There are people who dig through it, albeit yep. probably a smaller amount of people than mm-hmm. we would like to see.
Yeah.
But the soundbite, and I think what I've struggled with, and just in our organization, is we can't keep up with the social media posting.
No.
And
no.
sometimes the information is verifiable, sometimes it's not. But correct. As an institution, we have a responsibility, a public responsibility, to make mm-hmm. sure everything we put out is verified and keeping correct. Up with that. So
yeah.
I think the strategy of snippets and mm-hmm. pieces of information, I can get my head around and say, yes, that makes sense.
Right.
There's also a bandwidth issue among our organization. So, you know, we put our time into the data and the details to provide what we can. We do make efforts to make things as accessible as possible, including visits to the Elks, mm-hmm. presentation, sometimes a PowerPoint slide, so you don't have to refer to the primary right. source document. Yeah. But I think we're also competing with social media and conversations in town that occur online that may or may not have all the facts. And I think, you know, that's going to continue to be an area where we have challenges.
Yeah. It's an attention environment. And frankly, we're just not generating enough attention in the right ways. Clearly, we're generating some attention. There are heavily engaged folks on both sides, but mm-hmm. they're kind of canceling each other out to a certain extent. We need to get to some more of those. We're struggling with the same thing. TV, radio, we did the survey, and half the people don't know we have a TV station. Three quarters don't know we have a radio station. So,
but you're also exponentially higher than national benchmarks, which is nothing to sneeze at.
No.
And totally. While it may not right. matter to some people, you also have a thriving station well beyond most other communities.
Right.
And that's a resource where the information is getting out.
Correct.
And people right. are watching our meetings, right?
Yes. Right.
And they are, we're watching the joint budget meetings. And I think, you know, so it's there. I think this isn't about pointing fingers at anybody.
No,
and
no,
I know
no.
you're not.
No, no.
But ultimately, you have a significantly changing world with technology. And people like the VCR, the cordless telephone, you know, the iPod, the iPhone, as consumers, we just gravitate towards these things to try to bring us convenience, mm-hmm. enlightenment,
the new
right,
shiny
connection,
object.
Right? Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
But as a government, you know, it's not just that we're slow and antiquated or others, but we oftentimes, to Lucas's point, we don't have the bandwidth to just keep moving every direction. And to get into Facebook is a big danger zone for us. And I'm not also sure it's even effective. I think as we as colleagues go forward, and I think our Superintendents Association and Managers Associations and other local officials are going to be challenging themselves, certainly trying to adapt to a modernized technological area, and recognizing that, you know, a Gen Z generation born person or a millennial, right, or mm-hmm. now the other generation below Gen Z that's now in college,
right.
We have to try to do the best we can to meet them where they're at.
Yep.
But as part of that, when we meet them where they're at, we also have to try to make sure that they're aware that engagement is a two-way street. Mm. There is no way the superintendent or our staff and I can just put everything on a silver platter for everybody on one sentence.
No, you can't be 1 to 35,000.
If you want to be no, but if you want, if you have a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old at home, we need to try to do what we can to try to provide some level of attention and resources to making sure that those individuals know it's not really probably going to be feasible to not have that two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some common communication. And how that communication happens may be on a new platform. It may not be in person. It may be in person. I don't know. Maybe
right.
a mix.
Right.
But somehow I feel like the different media sources of how each generation has gotten to where they're at, now mm-hmm. we just have a wider spectrum of those yeah. available.
Yeah.
And that's led to some level of fragmentation among the public, right?
Sure.
Because if you're reading newspapers and that's all you're doing, you have one impression of what's going
on.
You
got a different world.
If you're on the Facebook war, you know, wars, yeah. you're in a different view.
Yeah.
If you're on podcasts, you are just zoned into who you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not necessarily cross-pollinating with no. many other people.
No.
I actually thought the listening sessions this year were a great way and actually did produce a lot of cross-pollinization among ideas where some newer people in the
right.
community realized some of the history and
yeah.
some of the
yeah.
townies kind of realized there's some new people and what their priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I still believe after all this year, all the work we did was clearly not for nothing.
Right.
You know, there was this impression in the community that, you know, the first override, it was kind of last minute. We all know why, and we're not going to go back under that bridge. But then we did it the way that everybody says you're got to should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't really produce the result we wanted either. However, you know, unlike last year, you know, this year, I think people were really pleased. It was exceptionally clear
mm-hmm.
what the conditions were.
Right.
It was exceptionally transparent. It was exceptionally more data and more information produced
mm-hmm.
in more formats than we've ever done before.
Right.
And we didn't just stay in the municipal building, which is generally legally where we have to be,
mm-hmm.
but we pushed the envelope a little and got out further into the community. And so, you know, I still think that's a good foundation to build off from the future.
I don't disagree. I think that format, maybe it's not 6, maybe it's 4, whatever the number is, but having those other in-person sessions
mm-hmm.
gets us away from the sound bites and the headlines that generally mm-hmm. sometimes are wrong on the social media. We need to go back to being the good part of social, interpersonal relationships.
Sure.
To have those civil discussions, because we also know there's more stories behind
Absolutely.
Those headlines. And that's where the realization, I think, that came out specifically, I remember a
mm-hmm.
couple of questions at the Senior Center one that were super. And people came out saying, I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Now, granted, in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't enough. But that's the kind of thing that if we do it and replicate it into, and then having had the physical, do more with whatever we can on some of the social to share those sound sure. bites, but then send people back to those, whether it's in the doc or the one page or back yeah. to the video, back to the audio, back to the transcript. That, in my limited way, seems to be like, that's the way we have to develop, spend some of our time. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm hoping that'll happen over the next several months before the election is, you know, people have a time to kind of, first of all, probably take a little bit of a break. I think it's yes. been a heavy conversation on the community. Mm-hmm. I think some of the survey results certainly came out of that division. It's very clear that after two special elections of, you know, very healthy turnout, mm-hmm. The community needs to look in the mirror a little bit and just right. reflect and try to like stand back and say, yeah. you know, what went wrong, what went right. And I think there'll be a new slate of folks in November. And as we get into January, like we do every year, the state budget will come out. It's an election year in 2026 for Governor Healey. Mm-hmm. So as we get into calendar year 26, we'll look out and look what the budget looks like. I can almost assure you that there will be a deficit. Mm-hmm. So people have to prepare that if they think this was the end,
well,
the next level of cuts, I can speak mostly for the municipal, I'm genuinely telling you, is not just about feel the pain anymore.
Right.
Because what that pain is outside of my personal life, whether I use the senior center, need an ambulance, have kids in the schools, is not the point. The point is that from a regulatory standpoint, you know, town's going to start losing revenues. It's going to lose its reputation. There's a whole variety of things that come with that mm-hmm. that are not a positive trend for the community.
No,
we can try to nitpick over little things here or there that the schools do, or do we need this in the town government or whatever. But the reason why all of those positions and services are there is because there are constituencies in this community that stood up for those things at one period of time, right? Mm-hmm. Sure. Whether it's the ISO 1 goal, whether it's police accreditation, whether it's a staff member at the historical museum or an arts director, mm-hmm. right? Most people are unaware. We did a whole roadshow tour because the council wanted to do where's our next level in arts.
Right.
Well, these were the recommendations that came out.
Sure.
We implemented them. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people in this community that care about that stuff.
Right.
When you get into these questions, people may disagree on one or two things here or there, but you have a $150 million a year budget. Nobody can try to tell me that the archivist at the museum at a cost of $80,000 with expenses and budgetary items is somehow the crippling endeavor of the budget. It's just not.
No.
It's barely one grain of sand on the beach. Mm-hmm. People have got to realize that these like lightning rod issues, but there are people in this community that really care about historical preservation. It's a small group, I get it. But if you keep eradicating away all of that, you're mm-hmm. continuing to tell people they don't matter.
Sure.
And the more you tell people they don't matter, the more disengaged they are.
Right.
And you're not going to get that crowd to come out to a budget hearing and say, oh my God, and pound tables and mm-hmm. say, we need to keep this. Because people are nervous of those things.
Right.
And but the next level of next year of reductions on the municipal side, and I think Lucas will say the same thing for the schools, is going to be severely devastating. And mm-hmm. people need to really understand that this is no more joke. This isn't really about the Facebook wars and how angry we can be at each other.
Right. No.
This is serious stuff. And your reputation as a community is sitting there wobbling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah. No.
I can tell. I can guarantee you there are multiple data points that I have that say, hey, you know, maybe Franklin isn't quite the place we thought it was. You know, mm-hmm. maybe this isn't the place to be from a business standpoint. From an investment standpoint, mm-hmm. from small business standpoints,
sure.
from residential moving, I've heard from many parents, I did wrong by my child, I should have never moved here. That's just one person. There are numerous people that have said, I failed my child by moving to this town 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Right.
I mean, that is not, I don't think that person is, those folks are really, but people have to be realistic that there is some level of consequence that's here that's more than just a museum employee or some expenses in the schools.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, and we're sliding in the wrong direction, period. Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll just say, just based on where we are and how things have kind of landed, you know, our focus is, we obviously with the redistricting, we have an opportunity to rebrand, and we're reconfiguring physically.
Correct.
But there's also an opportunity to reinvest in our schools with the resources and optimizing our resources under one roof for a middle school.
Correct.
So I think at the same time that some of this has happened, this slide, the best thing that we could have done for ourselves is to reorganize as a district, because it sets us up. And I think both things happening would have put us in a really good position, having an override pass and redistricting. 50% of that puzzle done puts us in a better position today than we would have been if we had not.
Yeah.
And I think that's the lens in which I'm trying to approach this year and the work. And I had our pre-treat on Friday. You mentioned it already, Steve, but our focus, I told the team, next year, there's three goals. Very simple. Mm. I've already have school committee verbal approval on this to just say, we're working on three things. The first is just establishing either new communities or strengthening the ones that exist.
Correct.
If it's not related to a new school, when kids walk in that door, how are we coming together as a community under each of the roofs that we have based on how we've reconfigured? The second one is building coherent systems and supports.
Yeah.
Basically, how are the structures set up? So you have multiple schools coming together. They all do it a little different.
You've got a bunch of juggling.
All coming together. And there's some great things happening everywhere. How do we take the best ideas and listen to each other and learn from each other and then build those systems out for each school?
Correct.
And then the last goal was around, we're an academic institution, instructional practices. Yeah. How are we looking at, now that we have seven teachers in one grade level under one roof, that normally you had two here, four here, five there, how do they come together as a team, a mini team within, and how are we strengthening the quality of instruction?
Correct.
And then building out, you know, we are going to continue through a budget process like we normally go through our rhythm.
Yep.
We need the summer to kind of land the ship. There's a huge move happening July 7th through the summer, basically happening that we need to do. But ultimately, you know, I'm excited to see where the chips fall and figure out what's working. What's an academic return on investment? What's not serving us? How do we make adjustments? And, you know, I'm entering the year with some optimism around what we can do. As hard as it's been, I've curbed my enthusiasm for the year out of respect for people who were not ready for change. They needed to process. That's how we opened this podcast, around change.
Sure.
But I'm also at a point where, as just the leader of the school system, if I'm not excited about the product that I believe we'll deliver on, then I don't know who else should be at that point. So I think, though, to the point that was brought up by Jamie, was just around, how do we continue to come together as a community? How do cross-pollination opportunities occur even when there's not a vote on the line on a certain date? Because I think the groundwork doesn't have to just be tied to a vote. I think the groundwork to have people talking about what they value can happen regardless of whether we're doing listening sessions or not. You know.
And actually, what he just said is really, when your question at the beginning of where do we go from here,
kind
of
next
metaphor, like, that's really it. Like, if people ask me, which has been very few, but if they ask me, like, where do we go from here, my answer is generally along the lines of what Lucas just said.
Right.
The community needs to do this work.
Right.
I said this last September 11th. I remember the date. I remember exactly how it came up. And so do you.
Because
I can tell on your face you remember.
I was there.
You were there. And I said at that meeting, people have to stop coming in and talking to me and the superintendent and some of the higher level staff, the administrations, and maybe even let the council and the school committee not engage as much with them. They need to engage themselves.
Right.
And this is a challenge across America right now that we're feeling in Franklin as a community that has a very, very high unenrolled and independent population. And, you know, we generally are a non-leaning, politically oriented community.
Right.
I kind of frequently do it as a swing state.
Right.
And while there may be a lean in a lot of times one way or the other on a more centrist view, you have people who have lived in town for their whole life, 80, 90 years. You have people that just moved into town in the last year. They grew up in another part of the world or part of the country. Mm-hmm. And the town of Franklin, the residents and citizens that live here and the businesses, they're the ones that need to cross-pollinate, to the superintendent's point a minute ago.
Right.
We're doing all these other things. The redistricting is such an incredible opportunity, is like an example of that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Not only are there elements here of new friends, new parents, new communities, right?
New points
but
of
there's
view,
the renaming of the schools,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
There's the issue around the Horace Mann name. Mm-hmm. How do we elevate Mr. Mann's legacy from Franklin? He's one of the most famous people in the world, born right here, right down the street from where, right around mm-hmm. the corner from where we're sitting.
Sure.
I mean, I think those are things that bring people together.
Yeah.
If we listen to one another, talk to one another, connect. Communicate.
Yeah. Find
empathize,
out.
Right?
Yep.
Like, hey, the schools, you know, clearly had a redistricting program they needed to do that are absolutely going to make the district much better and stronger. There's a really lot of exciting possibility here. And there's a lot of people who care about the legacy of Horace Mann.
Mm-hmm.
How do we hear each other and make something good out of all that?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's opportunity, and that's just one example. It's just one example of dozens, I'm sure Lucas and I could probably say,
yeah.
that could bring people together. Like I joked about the senior when we were at the senior center
mm-hmm.
with the unveiling of the pavilion. I'm not kidding to tell you that that pavilion, one of the reasons that that is there is that the seniors wanted a shady spot
sure.
in the afternoon because
yeah.
the sun belt's down in there, and they love watching the kids walk home from school.
Yeah.
They love it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, some of those seniors may know
yeah,
who one of the kids are.
Or,
well, those
yeah.
are really great yeah. connections.
Sure.
Those are cross-pollinations we
yeah.
don't see, talk about, except on this podcast, but Lucas and I are familiar, you are too, Steve,
yeah.
that these are elements that bring the community together, and more of that needs to happen, and a lot less asking me, the town
right.
manager, to do things,
yeah.
or the superintendent, and even you, Steve,
mm-hmm.
asking you to do a little less. They need to go do more
true.
To bring those connections on those examples together.
Yeah. And I'll just add, just example, last week I saw you there. Joe Corey brought his kids to do poetry recitals at the senior
right.
center.
Yeah,
great example.
And we put out a PR on it. I don't know
example.
How many people are reading the press releases,
right.
But
right.
but it's out there as another example. We've had mm-hmm. a geek squad in the past. I think
sure.
that was a
yep.
term where we've
yeah.
had kids help. I think
yeah.
I'd love to see
well,
now.
You're going to have that middle school
well,
next
there's a real,
door.
Now we have not three where only one middle
sure.
school is
right.
advantaged by being in proximity. You have all three under
right.
one roof, and
correct.
The principal's already talking about
right.
how can
yeah.
There be more community connections built.
Which,
so,
to a certain extent, organically, also having seen library has a community read with challenges in order to level up.
Mm-hmm.
Meet Me in the Middle is the program for
mm-hmm.
the schools. There's also a book, and I think I've seen at least one counselor, Michael Lewis,
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
does government.
Yep.
That should be a community challenge to read that book, because it then gives us a segue back into the conversations and the connections that
mm-hmm.
we need to foster amongst everybody else.
I think there is some, I mean, that Michael Lewis book, I did read it a few weeks ago. It's very well done. I wish it was six more volumes, because it only focuses on really a handful of different positions.
Right.
But I would say that that's one thing that we tried to do on Franklin TV for years. I did interviews,
mm-hmm.
right, on camera with department heads to
right.
help tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes back to the communication piece of, you know, people I don't think, and we talk about this in the Mass Municipal Association managers as well, people just don't have a great sense of what our town staff does. I think it starts with the town manager. People have false impressions of my role
mm-hmm.
or what my authority is
right.
and different things like that. So how do you convey that?
When,
how do you educate an audience?
What does your assistant
do?
Because
well,
that's also been a significant
Amy.
Conversation.
Right. But I think the same would be said for the superintendent, the assistant superintendent.
Sure.
You know,
absolutely.
And so you say, like, why do we need these positions? Well, you know, how do you tell that story?
Right.
You know, to an audience that is generally not going to tune into a newspaper, maybe even a press release, They may not read all the town blog notes. They may sign up for the emails, but they don't look at a lot of them.
Right.
We're in, you know, now where email is far surpassed junk mail in the mailbox mm-hmm. as just annoying right. because we have 150 emails every day I delete in my personal inbox, mm-hmm. you know, and it like feels like I'm just, you know, it's like I keep just hitting delete, delete. Well, a lot of people probably sign up for our email lists and probably sure. the schools yeah. and they just delete them. Right? That's the two-way street. So if I have email lists, if I do newsletters, if we have social media content, if we put out press releases and no one's reading them or they're not effective, well, then we have to change that strategy. Yeah, right. And I think, you know, maybe this format here, you know, maybe I need to have a Twitch account in my office and people can just view me all day long. I don't know. You know, that's obviously not going to work because, but if I think about what's successful today, and we saw this in the data sets with podcasts. You and I looked at each other, yeah. Steve and Dith.
Absolutely.
So podcasts are for car rides, they're for earbuds, they're while doing laundry, mm-hmm. after the kids are asleep, you know, in the car rides, doing errands on the way to work. Yeah. The train, great right. example, the train.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also about personalities, right? Correct. Charlie Kirk, Joe Rogan, Chelsea right. Handler. A lot of these folks are comedians, by the way. So they understand the human condition very well. They know how to interact with people.
It's a challenge for government to be that because we but, can't be comedians.
But
we
if
can't
I can't be, fun a, of this. Right, people do definitely don't like it when I'm a comedian. But a lot of people do like it when I'm a comedian, right? So it's like you joke, but you don't. So right. you joke, but people are sensitive. But then people laugh at the jokes. So right. you're already dividing people again on right. these things. So
but
if I just had it.
People right. have is if you're a comedian, I can say, I don't care for that comedian, so I just don't watch the
right.
comedian.
True.
The difference is if the comedian's your superintendent or your town administrator, right. they don't have a choice but to live in the, right. well, I guess they do have a choice, but if they're choosing to live in the town, right. that's the difference. They don't have the choice
right.
to say,
no.
that's not my style of comedy.
No.
Because the next day you're going to hear again from the same people who say,
right.
It's that idea we talked a little bit about, a private company who
right.
the pizza shop.
Yeah.
Sure.
But how do you connect with people who only want to connect on Twitch? Or they only want to connect on a video game platform? Mm-hmm. Or they only want to connect on they only have time.
I don't have time for video games, Jim.
I mean either. I don't know. I've never been a video
well,
game
that's where,
guy.
I just don't have the time to do it.
The
resource constraints. You have to focus on some
but
key
what about
pieces.
The citizen resource constraints, Steve.
And then let the citizens do that sharing. Right. So if somebody's on Facebook and then they share
right.
it to Twitch, then you've reached the Twitch people, but you haven't done it directly because you don't
right.
have the resources to do so on either side.
Can I offer another idea? Yeah. Just a thought.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're thinking out loud.
We do a lot to put out a lot of information. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get feedback. There's so much people don't know
right.
where to start.
So then we orient
them to, yeah. if I was going to pick one document, it would probably be the mm-hmm. presentation that was put up last night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a starting point.
Yeah.
And if you need more, you can back into
mm-hmm.
a lot more we know of.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The thought about that concept of less is more,
mm-hmm.
not to say we shouldn't be providing a comprehensive.
Correct.
I don't know. I don't have a, this isn't a solution. It's
no.
just more of a thought around
no.
those folks who are like, I want to stay engaged. I'm trying. I can't,
right.
but.
Well, to the email point you made earlier, the key piece for me as well, and I'm trying it because I do the daily email. There's significant reads on that, but people say it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reintroducing a weekly. So once a week, they get an email. It looks ahead as to what's coming, and it looks back as to what happened in the key pieces. You don't get all the kind of the cultural events. You don't get the calendar piece, just mm-hmm. the business meetings on both sides. But that is starting to grow. Is it going to take off? I don't know, but trying to meet people where they are, especially in a time short space, I'll give them the gist, and then if they want, oh, by the way, the link's going to take them back to the other stuff and back to either the school page or the town page for the real details anyway.
And you then once you find the how to reach them, it's like you have to then convey to Lucas's point about too much information. We've got a sizable email list.
Mm-hmm.
I started the newsletter, but then people, you know, are they really digging into the material there? And I think when I put out a newsletter, I think I'm on like volume 6 or 7, and you've tried many different formats.
Sure.
We've tried many different formats. Yeah. We used to have 2 different staff members dealing with communications. The superintendents tried different formats.
Right.
Yeah. None of it seems to be landing with a big victory of like, okay, people feel like we're communicating well, because mm-hmm. the statistics show that people don't feel that way.
Right.
So then once you give them the synthesized information, like here's the straight business meetings this week,
mm-hmm.
they may know about them, but then how do they attend them?
Right.
And then if that individual attends those meetings, do they understand what's going on? And I think this just gets to the challenge of where we're at in this year 2025, mm-hmm. after the last 5 or 6 years of transition right. and change.
Right.
People now have kind of tried to settle into a new rhythm. The rest of the decade is not going to be, you know, easy to handle. And so we're going to now we have AI that's challenging everybody, right?
Right.
And so it's a question of like, even if we repackage everything, which we've all three of us have done a lot of,
mm-hmm.
and then people still don't feel that way, well then the next question that's going to be asked, and maybe this is a Franklin Matters poll, is, you know, how much time each week do you have to dedicate to this, or what's your level of commitment?
Right.
Do you know, like, do you have a good feel for local or state government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you are upset about a development in town, do you know how to go to a planning board meeting?
Right.
Do you know, I think there's a lot of stumbling blocks on the engagement level in the inverse as well, where mm-hmm. it's like, people don't feel comfortable speaking at meetings. They don't want to say their address at meetings. There's a lot of other little barriers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. All the town council email addresses are online. All the school committee ones are.
The accessibility
is not an issue, but yet I consistently hear at meetings that this mm-hmm. is still an issue.
Right.
No one knows where the documents are. Well, I couldn't find anything on the website. The ZBA people then say the ZBA application is not there. And it's really literally right there on the homepage of the ZBA. So there's a gap here. It's not just the mechanism. It's not just the formatting of the mm-hmm. information.
Well,
but there was a comment made at the Remington Jefferson listening session that has really stuck out at me, where an individual got up and said, after the healthcare discussion,
mm-hmm.
they said, maybe we should implement some really bad ideas to show people that you're listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was
intuitive.
Well, I thought it was, first of all, I thought it was incredibly accurate.
Yeah.
I don't, as a professional, can't endorse bad ideas, right? And I don't think the superintendent can either.
No.
It's hard.
No.
So there's that, I think the listening sessions did a lot for me about where those uncomfortable lines are. I'm mm-hmm. here to give feedback. I may not be, you know, knowledgeable of the issue or the four corners of the puzzle of what the law is or whatever. But I think, you know, the idea that accepting bad ideas and implementing financially bad decisions to show people you're listening to them.
Right.
The comment was incredibly polite. It was not, did not say anything mean or, it was a genuine and authentic thing, and I thought it was a fascinating comment that has really stuck with me. And I think that comment to me is the one we have to try to figure out of how to connect those dots.
True, that's kind of where we started. So let's kind of go back to the beginning in terms of what's next. So immediately you've got the rest of this week, and then the FY starts over.
Mm-hmm.
What's on your playlist? Do you have some off time scheduled? What are you going to do next?
what I'm going to do next is probably, with the budget being over, you know, we're going to try to reconvene on some other projects, particularly around facilities. Like I said, the police station will get a lot mm-hmm. of headway. I'm constantly working with our healthcare consortium. We have almost biweekly meetings,
right?
With our consortium.
That's business stuff. I'm talking about you,
talking about
Jamie,
personal.
In terms of doing.
Oh, I
your
just want to go to
next.
The beach.
That's.
I need Mother Nature to help me out. Like where today is on Sunday.
So
it's 92 and like kind of sunny, cloudy. Yep. Like this day is a perfect beach day, but I can't be at the beach.
So what's going to be on your playlist going to the beach? Just one or two songs.
Let's see. Well, Lady Gaga, her new album Mayhem is amazing.
Okay.
So Lady Gaga is on full rotation all the time in my house. I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan, so is my wife. Her new album is tremendous. Cool. So for any listener out there that may or may not like Lady Gaga, I don't know.
She's not high on my list, but I'll go back, especially
the last couple
to
albums
this.
Were okay.
Yeah.
They were not great.
Mm-hmm.
This is by far her best album since The Fame. Depends on how you feel about Born This Way.
Right.
It's a good album. I love Born This Way, but it wasn't as great as The Fame. There's a possibility that Mayhem, this new one, could be the best of her entire career.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Time
it's
will
a
tell.
Fantastic
okay.
record.
And on your side, sir?
Professional or personal?
Personal.
Okay.
We've
so,
talked enough.
Every year we have a tradition. We get together with family and friends for 4th of July.
Oh.
So we travel to Vermont, which is
Oh, that's
great.
Right. Yeah.
And then we have some family time planned throughout the summer to just get together. So I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. Our roles kind of take us away many days and nights. So it's nice to get some time where we're not committed to so many evening events and things like that. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Evening events is a big one.
It's hard to pivot to like do something and come back. It's like you got to prep, and oftentimes we're facilitating so much of those.
Totally.
We're not just spectators. We're
actively
on.
Involved.
So
yes,
that, we're the conductor too.
Right.
Like,
right. And we have to write the music.
Yeah.
and perform sometimes.
Yeah, right. And I have a couple of concerts planned. So I'm going to the Lumineers.
Oh, cool.
Fenway, I believe.
Yeah. Fenway,
and then,
I think,
I'm going to Ray LaMontagne has his 20th year. Trouble was one of his albums. That's the 20-year anniversary in the fall, so I'm looking forward to those two concerts. And those are on my playlist right now, so I'm just kind of wrapping my head around. And I'm really into Lord Huron right now as a band, so kind of shifting in the
You're
more
fantastic.
Over that style. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing.
What about you?
Me? What am I? Dolores and I are taking
off. Evenings off now. Tuesday.
Yes. Because you're
I'm
everything
looking,
we're at.
I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely. No, Dolores and I have taken off. We have an annual tradition with some friends in central PA. The road literally ends there because of the way the creek comes.
Yeah.
And we're off the grid for a week. So, things will be queued up. People may think I'm still around, but I'm gone. And then we do have some family time. We're going to reintroduce the grandkids to another place in Pennsylvania that my daughters had been to when they were growing up. So that's in August.
The one that's way out.
This one's a little closer.
Okay.
This one's in Mountain Springs Lake. It's right off Route 80. So we're looking forward to that in August. And
I will say, I think despite all that, it's great to hear, we're all going to concerts, which is fantastic.
Music.
Hopefully some beaches, family barbecues,
Lowell Folk
whatever
Festival is on my agenda because it's at the end of the July.
It's free.
It's funny.
I love it. Just for the audience out there, if you can tell a little bit, and I know Lucas is a big fan of some of the music that I'm going to see this year too, but it's funny that you have all this. You have Lowell Folk Festival, Lumineers. I'm going to see Lady Gaga at Madison Square Garden later this summer, which is the reason why I'm into her. I'm also going to see Nine Inch Nails later this summer.
Okay.
I'm a big Nine Inch Nails fan. But it's funny because here the listeners are getting a full palette.
Absolutely.
All sorts of different artistical statements, which actually I think is a great thing.
They should be able to make a playlist.
I love the bands that Lucas is talking about. I'm also big fans of. I know him and I also share a big passion for hard rock.
Right.
And so maybe this is what the public needs to know more of us about. Maybe they need to know less bureaucracy and law, and maybe they need to know more about who we are as people.
Yeah.
Because I think through podcasts, you and I have found out that we have an exceptional amount in common that we would have normally known if we didn't do these.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding it interesting that I'm gravitating towards softer music.
I'm going to hard rock
because of just the pace of the year and kind of what we've been through. It's like, I don't want to go to Metallica concert right now. I actually want something a little more subtle.
Man, I need a dance party.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I'm going to see
Lady
Gaga. I need to just jump around.
Yes.
This pent-up energy you need to get rid of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas, to your point of the, Nora Jones singing Summertime, you know, the Gershwin classic. I'll get into that.
Yep. Louisville Christmas. I forgot about it. You may see me there, Steve.
The Lumineers will be a party. Yes. Ray LaMontagne will probably be a little little bit more thought provoking.
Right. Yep.
A little more pensive, but you're. Whatever it is, whether it's a dance party, a party at Fenway,
find a break, all of it is about
the break, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about the break, and you know, that doesn't mean that we don't have a lot going on this summer here.
This is the balance.
It's the balance.
Lucas has redistricting, you know, on my end, just as a primer, people will, in July and August at the council meetings, see a lot of issues trying to address the community's concerns around development.
Correct.
Okay, so development's a hot potato. Redistricting's a little bit. So
things have not changed. They're still here.
Yeah.
The conversations may have changed a little bit, but by the way, the issues are still here. So we need to address those.
Yeah. So maybe the next podcast will start off with the Lumineers and Lady Gaga.
We'll have a trip report.
Listeners got to this part of the show.
But we can include that, a little teaser in there. We'll get a survey going as to what else we should talk about. So,
yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day and
thanks,
the starts of the summer. And I'll see you at some of the meetings later in the month, not right away.
Concerts on the Common farmers markets and the other great events being planned throughout the 4th of July celebration.
Happening.
There's fireworks again this year.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many great things going on in this community.
Yeah.
We'll end on that good high note because, of course, Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.